Dr. David Kilcullen, US-based counterinsurgency analyst and military strategist, also the author of Blood Year, Islamic State and the Failures of the War on Terror. In your book, as the title suggests, you are critical of the Western allies' strategies for the war against terror in the Middle East. Do you believe that the Western coalition have not taken serious measures to end the war in Syria and Iraq?
I think the most important failure is the failure with respect to Syria. I mean, we've seen now 11 million people displaced. Half of the cities in Syria are destroyed. Half the people of Syria require, you know, they depend on international humanitarian assistance to survive. And really, the West has taken very little steps until quite recently to focus on ending the war, reducing humanitarian costs, and trying to stabilize the situation in Syria. And I think, in addition, we focused, to the extent that we have paid attention, we focused too narrowly on ISIS. At this point, the Assad regime has killed 9.5 times as many people as ISIS has. So we need to be thinking, I think, more broadly than just terrorism, to realizing that actually the danger that's afflicting people is much broader than that.
Right at the start of the spillover of IS into Iraq in 2014, they, as well as many analysts, believe that the map of the Middle East, as we know it, was forever changed and that the Sykes-Picot borders have been redrawn. Can Syria be kept as a whole for this war to end?
I think that both Syria and Iraq, it's very difficult to see how either of those countries could ever go back to where it was before the war. I think it's also difficult to see how countries like Jordan and Lebanon and even Israel will come out of this conflict without a very different set of circumstances that they have to face. So I think that in many ways, Iraq and Syria are like Humpty Dumpty. And rather than trying to put them back together again as they were before and try to make everything go back to, quote, normal. Instead of that, we need to be thinking now about how do we reduce civilian loss of life, how do we end the war as quickly as possible, and make it so that people feel safe enough to engage in a political discussion to resolve their differences, rather than trying to do that with car bombs and barrel bombs and helicopters.
On that note, how do you perceive the so-called ceasefire in Syria?
Well, it's still a little bit early to tell how it's working. There certainly has been some reduction in violence on the ground, but we've seen ongoing breaches of the ceasefire. And of course, it's important to remember that some really important groups like Jabhat al-Nusra, ISIS, Ara al-Sham, some other groups are not party to the ceasefire and are being continuously attacked. I also think it's worth pointing out that the Russians, the Iranian troops in Syria and the Assad regime are still attempting to encircle and cut off Syria's second city, Aleppo. And if that happens, that will create a humanitarian catastrophe that could potentially dwarf any benefits that we've seen from the ceasefire. That doesn't mean that it's all bad. I think at the very least, it's a step in the right direction toward making peace. But it's certainly civilians in Syria today are not much safer than they were 2 weeks ago.
Well, Turkey, one of the major allies in the fight against IS and part of the coalition, a powerful NATO member as well. How do we balance having US air power supporting Kurdish forces, for example, which are also being shelled by Turkey?
Yes, it's interesting. I've also noticed two things recently. One is that the Russian negotiators in the ceasefire are frequently referring to Kurdish forces as being on the side of the Assad regime in Syria, which I think most Kurds would reject. But that's certainly the way that Russia is seeking to portray it. The other thing that I'm noticing is if you read the Turkish press, and I'm sure many of your listeners do, we're seeing increasing rhetoric from some Turkish politicians that's comparing the Kurds today to the Armenians 100 years ago and saying that they're working with an enemy and that they're a subversive element. And of course, that creates really strong memories of bad times amongst both Kurds and Armenians in Turkey because of what happened 100 years ago. So I think that the way that I would summarize it is that the war in Syria is not only transforming the environment for Kurds in Syria and in Iraq, it's also creating a really strong destabilizing dynamic for Turkey on its southern border. And that is, I would argue, is even more threatening to Turkey than anything that ISIS might be doing.
You have said that ISIS sells oil to Turkey, which of course constitutes financial support for IS. And why is Turkey's support for IS in this manner is being ignored by the coalition that's fighting the Islamic State?
Well, I want to be clear. I didn't mean to imply that the Turkish government is buying oil from ISIS. We don't have evidence for that. We do have evidence that ISIS-controlled areas are smuggling oil out through Turkey, and it's possible that some local-level officials have done deals to allow that to happen. It's also worth pointing out that ISIS is selling electricity to the Syrian regime, even though it's fighting them, and is selling water and other commodities in the area that it controls. I think the important thing here that I'm trying to talk about in the book is two things. One, ISIS is trying to become a state. It's not just a terrorist organization. It does commit terrorist acts, but it's trying to be something more than just a terrorist group. It's trying to create a state-like entity in the region, and that's partly why it's engaging in these kinds of state-like behaviors. The other thing that's worth mentioning is that as far as Kurds are concerned in both Syria and Iraq, one of the realities now is that Turkey doesn't like ISIS, but it sees Iranian encroachment into Syria, and it sees the possibility for the emergence of an independent Kurdish state that might destabilize southern Turkey because of Turkey's own Kurdish population as being even more threatening than the existence of ISIS. So I don't think the right interpretation is to say, you know, the Turks are in favor of ISIS. The right interpretation is to say that there are many hard choices now for countries in the region. And for some, even though they might not like ISIS, there are even worse things out there for them to worry about.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio.